Governor Doug Ducey announced yesterday that he had reached a budget deal with lawmakers that is supposed to include a 20% raise for teachers by 2020. That's a plan that hasn't satisfied teachers and the Red for Ed movement, but Republican legislative leaders are on board. The key question remains whether rank-and-file lawmakers will go along and potentially end the legislative session this week. Joining us now with the latest from the Capitol on how GOP lawmakers are crafting this budget is Howie Fisher of Capitol Media Services. Good morning, Howie.
Good morning. Actually, as we're speaking, the House Appropriations Committee just gaveled in and they're starting to go through those bills one by one and hope to line up the votes, at least among the Republicans.
All right. So give us a sense of what this deal looks like now.
Well, essentially, it's a little of this, a little of that. What the governor has done and what the legislative leaders have done is say, look, we think we can come up with the extra money for the teacher pay plan, which by the third year is, you know, $644 million. And we're going to do that by assuming that the economy is going to grow, tax revenues are going to grow, caseloads for things like healthcare and DES are going to drop. And then we're going to throw a few other things in there. For example, we're going to shift some of the property taxes to Tucson Unified School District. We're going to hire more auditors for the Department of Revenue. We've got this new fee on vehicle license taxes to pay for Highway Patrol, which frees up other money, some agency reductions. And like I say, a little of this and a little of that, and there seem to be enough votes there to say, okay, I think we can live with this, even though we're not quite sure we believe the economy is going to do as well as the governor suggests.
How your beard has gotten gray, not just because of age, but because of covering so many of these sessions. And later on in the show, we'll hear from J.D. Mesnard and Rebecca Rios on their take. And basically, it sounds as though this is a Republican budget, which is not a shock. But is there any movement of any kind because of the teacher involvement and how much that's affected things to see any sort of bipartisanship or to see anything that the governor or legislative leaders might have to tweak because Democrats might have a little bit of influence because of the teachers, or is that just a pipe dream?
I think, you know, nothing against what Noah has told you and the other folks have told you. I think this train is moving. And as long as they can line up sufficient Republican votes, they don't need Democrat votes. Now, there are some Republicans, as I mentioned, who have concerns. I mean, you've got somebody like a Todd Clodfelter, who's from a split district in Tucson, who may not like shifting taxes to Tucson residents. You have Eddie Farnsworth, who's from Gilbert, who is expressing some concern that we're basically spending right down into all of our reserves and we're going to end up 3 years from now with insufficient money in case of a slight hiccup in the economy. But at this point, I think the Democrats remain the loyal opposition. They will spend time pointing out what they see as the flaws in the plan, point out the things that aren't addressed, as Noah mentioned, for example, the issue of getting funding back to 2008 levels. But I think this is maybe as good as it gets.
So if it is as good as it gets and this is passed without Democrats involved, does that, though, mean that the people who are running this Red for Ed movement, like we just heard from Noah Carvelis, will buy in at all? Could this still not stop the walkout?
Well, this becomes an interesting question. Let's assume by the end of the week, the budget is adopted, the legislature goes home for the session. Then the question becomes, what's the purpose of the walkout? I mean, if the walkout is to convince lawmakers you're serious, but they're not even here, what's the point of it? You know, the RNG might be better spent whether it's gathering signatures on petitions to raise sources of revenues, whether it's getting people elected locally. I mean, we have an election year coming up. All 90 legislative seats are up. The governor's seat is up. And the fact is that if you replace sufficient numbers of these people, then next year, maybe you've got a better chance of getting what you want.
Howie, what about the plan that seems DOA, but I wonder if there might be any momentum for it, Representative Noel Campbell, the temporary sales tax increase, because it feels as though, based on everything that we know, based on the cuts that have been made in the past, that even with what the governor is trying to do here, as you mentioned, this is not getting back to 2008 levels. This is not expanding really the broader sense of K-12 funding in any significant way. So is there any effort as far as a ballot measure that could be temporary as opposed to what we've seen increasing income tax on those who make a certain level, which for a lot of people seems like a non-starter? Are we going to have to wait till 2020 for the businessman special as far as raising sales tax at that point. I mean, are you seeing anything related to a ballot measure coming out of this legislature, or again, is that impossible?
Well, they could do a competing ballot measure, and wouldn't be the first time state lawmakers, Republican lawmakers, have put something else in the ballot to confuse things. We're going to see this November over the question of solar use and solar requirements. But what Noel Campbell actually wants is an actual vote by the legislature,
right, mm-hmm,
for this bridge, for the 1 cent sales tax, which would raise $1 billion, $1.1 billion a year, and have lawmakers themselves do it in preparation for somebody coming up with a better, longer-term plan in 2020. Now, the problem, of course, is it takes a two-thirds vote of the legislature to increase sales taxes. We know there are some Republicans who will never, ever, ever vote for anything that's a tax increase. So that leaves it with the Democrats. The Democrats, for their part, aren't particularly keen on the idea of sales taxes. I mean, when you look at taxes, the people at the lower end of the income scale pay more of their money to taxes than the people at the higher end of the income scale. So they say it's regressive. We have some communities in Arizona that are already approaching sales taxes that are at double-digit rates when you consider the state, the county, the sports district, and the city sales taxes. So that becomes perhaps a non-starter for them. So is it possible they might do something, particularly now with this idea of this income tax surcharge going to the ballot? Maybe, but I think it's a real tough sell.
Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services. Howie, thanks so much. We'll check in with you later in the week.
Sure thing.